left off last week, we were discussing the pula of the concept of understand and the davishen of a kabbal tuma. Something itself is not subject to the halachas of tuma. So we declare the movement to the whole rich of the Torah's Labaila. So it was very hard to understand conceptually why should that impact, whether the garment, whether the kli, whether the vessel is tummy, why in the world should that impact on our status vis-a-vis our husband? So we explained, based on what we were showing that a little bit, and we spoke a lot about the Yehuda last week, that the Yehuda develops this idea that basically we should have been out there all summer, because there's no Hargosh anyway, and it's all the suffix, we don't even know where it's coming from, so everything should have been looked at. The only reason why we have to turn around and declare the Ksama Tameh is because vis-a-vis the item that the guest was found on, we don't have too many sphakas to go on, because we don't have that aspect of Hargosh to save us. We're doing Paskening. But if the item is Tameh, and the item is Tameh, even the absence of Hargosh. Hargosh is a din in the Tameh as the Isha, that's what's Isha Labayla. But vis-a-vis the object where the Kesem falls upon, so then Hargosh is not going to save us. The lack of Hargosh is not going to save us. So all the Sfeikas, all the Sfeikas, all Chayfer from last week breaks down, and we have no choice. We have to declare the item Tameh. Once we declare the item Tameh, then we can't turn around and say, well, the item is Tameh, and the woman is Torah. If, even though Minat Torah, that's what the din is, but that's just a contradiction in terms. People are going to have difficulty grappling with such a psach. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, we have to declare the woman is Asura. So it says in the Yehuda, that only makes sense if we have to declare the item coming. If we don't have to declare the item coming, because it's not susceptible to in the first place, then the whole tent doesn't go off the ground. The whole story doesn't begin. And therefore, we can declare the item is irrelevant, and the woman is in fact the Hora. So that's the source, at least according to the Yehuda's Lomdus, that's the source of this din. Whether you accept the Yehuda's Lomdus or have another Lomdus, the bottom line is it didn't stand for this explicitly that a Kesem and a Davish and Makabal Tumah is not a problem. So we have to now ascertain what exactly is Makabal Tumah, what's not Makabal Tumah, what are some of the practical ramifications. But before we get to some of the nitty gritty as to what is and what is not, there is one issue that we have to raise that's on the fifth page of the Makabal Tumah, it's my Makabal number 11, and that's a suggestion that's found in the Sefer Sidrei Tahara. The Sidrei Tahara is a classic sefer that's written in the back of the Yerushalayim Hilchos Nida, one of the big posters in the Hilchos Nida. And the Sidrei Tahara throws a monkey wrench into the sugya that could potentially throw up everything. If we would accept the schum of the Sidrei Tahara, then a lot of shaylas in the Davar Makom Tu would look different. So let's take a look. I didn't say we accept it. I preface by saying if we accept it. So let's take a look at what the Sidrei Tahara says. Mar Makom Lulav. Mizei Yotzalaru Chiddush Din, says the Sidrei Tahara, I have a tremendous Chiddush to tell you. The Hadik Kaimalon, the Nimtzi Kesem of Davash and Makabal Tuma, that which we find in Kesem on a Davash and Makabal Tuma, the Lo Gazrubaha, the Tahora, there was no Issam in the Rabbana, and the woman is permissible. Nikom Makom, if also Davash and Nimtzi of a Kesem, Munach Agabe Dovra Makabal Tuma. What if the item that she finds the Kesem on itself is not Makabal Tuma, but it's sitting on something that is Makabal Tuma? So just for argument's sake, if you would find the Kesem, I would find the Kesem on this item. So this item, again, it's all theoretical, would not be Makabal Tumah, but the shtender that it's on is Makabal Tumah, that would pose a problem. Why? Sister Torah, where does that come from? So he continues. Kevan, she also davish in Makabal Tumah, since the item that's not Makabal Tumah is Munach or davish in Makabal Tumah, v'nitmu mishum masa, because there's a halacha l'chos Tumah, that sometimes an item becomes tummy, not just like coming into physical contact with the Dabba Tummy, but if it moves the Dabba Tummy, or if it supports the Dabba Tummy, it also can become tummy. So in theory, if you have a dam nida is a metame, if the dam nida falls on item X, and item X happens not to be susceptible to Duma, but item X is being supported by item Y, so item Y becomes tummy. It doesn't touch the dam nida, it doesn't matter, but it's moving, it's supporting, it's becoming nitma mishum tumas masa. So now when the woman comes and asks the shayla, so she has three shaylas here. I want to know, am I muteris? I want to know, is the item that the dam is on, is it mutter? And is it tame? And I want to know, is the second item that's supporting the first item, is that tame? So she's coming out with three shaylas. So vis-a-vis the item that's touching the dam, we say, the woman herself, oh, you're great, there's no Hargosha, everything's okay. But the item that's supporting the Dam is Tamei Minat Torah, because it's doing Masa to the Dam Nida. So we're back to Scribble, we're back to the contradiction in Pesachim. says the Sefer Gitara, any time we have to issue the word Tameh in any part of the Shaila, we cannot turn around in the same breath and say, by the way, you're okay with your husband. That's impossible. So the same character disaster, the same contradictory psak that prevented us from declaring a woman Tahora, when you find Kesef Rav saying an underwear, since we have to declare the underwear Tameh, so we have to declare that she's Tameh, the same exact concern is present, even though we're not declaring the item proper Tameh, because it's not susceptible to Duma, but we declare the item that's supporting it to be Tameh. So we're back to square one. The Yopa says it's the Sidre Tara. Once it's Nitma Mishamasa, the Kagama Isha Tameh, the Halafim Ashikasa Mishem Haran, the Ran says it a little bit, which I'm not going to really elaborate upon. The Chidushim Ikra Gezeru Ha'ilat Tameh Isha, Bishum Da'os Odom Vashinim Zalav Akesemu Tameh, Bishum Ha'ilat Mokamot Tameh, Bishum Ha'ilat Tibu Gam La'isha. If you're not going to say that the woman is Tameya, then no one's going to trust, no one's going to believe you that the item is Tameh. In Kain Yeshlamu Adin Benir Nidan, and the exact same reason applies. Kain Dikli Tach Tav Tameh Mishamasa Shemachin Gazu Nami Ala Isha. Once they declare that the bottom kli has to be Tameh because of Masa, the main we have to declare the woman as a sur as well. That's the Chiddush, the Chumrah of the Sibitara. So not all the posts agree with the Sibitara, even though it makes a lot of sense. Sibitara's lomos makes a lot of sense. But perhaps the reason why many Acharonim disagree with it, it's almost a throwback to what we spoke about last week. Remember last week we mentioned that if you have an item that's Tamei Tumas Negoyim, it can't really become Tamei for contacting Tamanida. It becomes Tamei Tumas Negoyim, in the case of the loom, the strings of the loom last week. So we said that anything that's Tamei in any shape or form is Makabel Ksum, even though the reason of the Nevi'ah doesn't really apply. So the Rishonim already explained, it's almost like a low plug. The Chazal instituted across the board, they wanted to make life easy for us, so they formulated the following halacha. If it's Tameh, then there's a problem. If it's not Tameh, then it's not a problem. Even though the exact reason doesn't apply to the case of Tumas Negoyim, it was a low plug of Chumrah. So some suggest this was almost like a low plug of Kula. We're used to low plugs the chumrah, but everyone's going to hear low plugs the kula also here. Chazal wanted the guidelines, the parameters of the halacha should be as follows. A woman comes with a shayla, she brings the underwear to the rav, and she wants to know two things. Is the underwear tameh? Am I muteres or badly? The rav doesn't have to start to kvetch it yet. Well, what else was supporting the underwear? What else was holding the underwear? What else was carrying the underwear? It's already too far removed. It means, you're right, if there was a pure lomdus, we should have declared the woman to be a surah. But the shayla is only the formulation that the kara was, if the kesem is on a davar mekabatuma, whether it's to mistigoyim, to mistita, to mistisa, or that, if it's on a davar mekabatuma, it's a problem. If it's not, then it's not. Even though the details of the gzera don't always fit, the details don't always match up, but you have to have a little bit of uniformity, a little bit of just convenience in the gzera. So Chazal formulated the gzera, davar mekabatuma, yes, and mekabatuma, no. So if one wants to disagree with the Sefer Tara, that would probably be some of the rationale to disagree. Might have Kamina, who cares? When does the Shaila come up? When does the Shaila come? It's all the time. I can't say a day doesn't go by without the Shaila, but probably a week for sure doesn't go by without the Shaila. We have to decide if we're going to follow the Sidri Tara or not. What's the Shaila, the most common application of this Sidri Tara? This is my Ramokam number 12. Maybe just a drop of introduction to my Ramokam number 12. We've also discussed what is a din if a woman finds a kesem on paper. Is paper considered to be a davar mekabel tuma? Is paper not a davar mekabel tuma? Forget the Sidur Tara for a moment. A woman wants to know, found a kesem of paper. So, many kesem found a paper, or toilet paper, or tissues. A woman was wiping that area, all of a sudden she finds a little bit of blood, and let's say it's more than a gris, and she doesn't have a matta to assume that it came from there. It has all the trappings of becoming a kesem. Wait, maybe she could be saved. Maybe the toilet paper, maybe the tissue paper is not mekabel tuma. What's the din? Is paper mekabel tuma or not? So Rav Moshe, in the 12th of the month of Gomos, refers back to a machlekes acharon. Rav Moshe wasn't the first one to discover the shayla. This was around hundreds of years the shayla. So says Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe, that my mother was talking to Rav Moshe, in your day, gimel simon nun gimel. Le'etzem inyon kesem v'nimsa al niyar, for the basic halacha of a stain that's found on paper, this was already an old machlekes acharonim. V'anochon kemed v'yehuda d'mekabel tuma k'tolyev me'depligi. So says Rav Moshe, the ikra din d'nei v'yehuda is correct, that paper is a davar mekabel tuma. It's interesting, you look at the acharonim, we discuss whether paper is susceptible to duma or not. So they start to discuss the different ways of making paper. Remember when I was first learning the sugya, so I'm reading half the Achronim and describing making paper from shmatas, from old rags, which could potentially be makabel duma. The rags themselves came from garments, maybe they are makabel duma. Another Achronim is describing making paper from grasses, from other kinds of produce. So I'm scratching my head and trying to figure out, how do you make paper? I don't think about making paper. Google paper, and you come to the realization that there are two very, very different ways of making paper, depending on where you live. Some communities, some places in the world that make paper out of old rags, and other places make it out of reeds and stuff, depending on what access you had more to. So the Achronim were not talking about, they're talking about two brisket earth, two kinds of papers. So comes the Rosh and says, the Iker that he thinks that the Nadavid is correct, that paper is Makabel Tuma. However, says the Rosh, about B'niyar Shalonu Shehudak, says, when did the Achronim write that paper is susceptible to Tuma? That was a very strong kind of a paper. It was all like a reusable kind of a paper. In the olden days, paper was very expensive. So if you write something on paper and then you wanted to reuse it, you'd erase it, and you wouldn't want to throw a piece of paper in so fast. So the Loshayach Lekapsa, he said, our paper is a cheapy kind of a paper. You can't wash our paper. You're a royal ishtamish bu. You can't reuse a piece of paper. Everyone would agree that if you have a dirty tissue paper, piece of toilet paper, obviously, it was even sugar that they reuse a dirty tissue, to reuse a dirty piece of toilet paper. So, niftal zadiyar, so that our paper is automatically considered like a double bottle. Fuki karua umushchas, vishuntash vishlagarpi. It's not usable. Basically, it's a one-time thing. Use back once, you throw it to the garbage. So this is Rav Moshe L'shitas. Rav Moshe has this idea about Tefillas Kelim also. He says, if you have a disposable kli, use it once, it's going to get all ukhi and disgusting. You never think of using it twice. So Rav Moshe says such a thing, Shavadei Neshuv Makabel Tuma. So he says that it's not Makabel Tuma. The Havik Yeh Sidri Tower of Lomitama. He's not referring to this Sidri Tower that we just learned. He's referring to the Sidri Tower who says that paper is not Makabel Tuma. So he says, in the olden days, and then Yehuda, 200 years ago, was fighting out with the Sidri Tara, whether the Chosh of a paper of Prague in the 1700s, because you could reuse it, is that paper from Makabel Tuma? He says, that paper, the Lord recited in the 1960s, he says, come on, that paper says, toilet paper, it's tissue paper, avada, 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 it's not Makabel Tuma. They were talking about stronger paper that's still reusable, of a low rov near Shalonu. So most of our paper is not that way. The kol shegelo aniyah shenasu lekinuch veveis hakisei v'chadoi v'er. He says toilet paper is ziches v'shua, says Rav Moshe, is not makabel tuma. Not everyone agrees with Moshe that. Not everyone agrees with that distinction. Moshe be loved well in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe paskin that toilet paper is not makabel tuma. That sounds great, wonderful. And if a woman finds a kesem of toilet paper, like many, many stains are found, well, ignore it. Kesem, doshim makabel tuma, no. Wait a second. Here the Sidri Tower is going to do a sin. Why? Where does the woman find this kesem of toilet paper? She's holding the toilet, she's wiping herself. So, true, the toilet paper which is coming into contact with the kesem is able to come to her, but it's being supported, you bet, by someone or something that is makabel tuma. Herself, a human being, is makabel tuma. If a woman would touch dam nida, she would become, if a man would touch dam nida itself, he would become tamei. So it's a classic application of the Sidri Tara. It's a kesem found on a davar she'ein makabel tuma, which is being supported by a davar on makabel tuma, which according to the Sidri Tara himself poses a problem. So it's interesting, the Sidri Tara was the biggest maker on the paper. He held even the old paper was okay, but the Sidri Tara is not going to help us over here, because he's going to ask these ksavim based on his chumra of a davar hanosei of a davar makabel tuma. The halacha Rav Moshe was making on this, Rav Moshe apparently didn't pass it like the Sidri Tara, and many rabbanim were making his manazeh. So I think one definitely has a right to be making on the shaila that ksavim that are found on toilet paper, tissue paper are considered to be permissible. They're not subject to ksavim altogether. Notwithstanding, although there were two reasons to possibly machmir, one could have been machmir that paper is makabel tuma, but Rav Moshe was making. One could have been machmir like the Sidri Tara, but many posts are making that as well. So what was combining kulas? But in Hilchos Ksavim, as we already learned, Shavu L'Hakka, we have the right to be Mekel, the famous Mishnah we learned earlier, that there was a Shaila that came up in Ksavim, and Rabbi Akiva was Mekel, and his Talmidim asked him why he was being so Mekel, and he explained Ksavim's only the Ramadan, and Ksavim Shavu L'Hakka. So we tend to be lenient in Shaila's Hilchos Ksavim. This Shaila is not addressing something that does come up, we'll have to talk about that a little bit later. What if when the woman is wiping herself, so sometimes that wiping is found Upot, as she's urinating, or just a little less than Rav Shudish urinating, there may be another factor that's thrown into that, maybe a whole different ballgame in terms of potential hagosha involved. But if it's not happening literally at the time of urinating, or mamish immediately afterwards, then we're going to be making. We'll see when we get to that part of the Sabbath Gagosha, seeing a little bit later on, we're going to be pretty making on that also. So pretty much Lamaisa, 99% of the time, a woman finds a kesef on toilet paper, we have the right to be making. However, if the woman uses toilet paper to go internally, she does almost a bedika with toilet paper, that's a whole different ballgame. Again, hopefully we'll get to that a little bit later on. So we have, it took us 20 minutes, we got one kula. So one kula is that some of the toilet paper, pretty much we have a right to be making. What other examples of things we have a right to be making on in terms of ksamim? So we go to the 13th of the Mamre Kamos. So the quote from the Taras Abayis, that's right, says Rav Avadi Yosef Sefer Hilchos Nida. So he quotes Machlokes to the more contemporary poskim. The reason why it's a more contemporary shal, you're not going to find this in the Neguda, this is the Tara, is because the items didn't exist in the olden days. So says Rav Avadi, Aroh Kesem Abegin Nylon. If a woman finds something on nylon, yeah, nylon they use in the modern Hebrew to refer to any kinds of plastic, anything, any polyester, any kind of a artificial synthetic material, what is the din? So Tahora, the first opinion that the Magic quotes is that the woman is Tahora. She ain't a nylon makabal tuma. She says nylon or polyester or any of these kinds of synthetic fibers are not makabal tuma. Why in the world did that? How did he know that? What's that based on? So it's a whole discussion of the poskim, how we came to that conclusion. Not everybody came to that conclusion, but most of the later poskim probably did. That nylon is plastic, all those things are not makabel tuma. One of the most interesting proofs for this idea that these kinds of synthetic materials are not makabel tuma is a Mishnah, I'll talk to whoever said it's Caleb. The Mishnah talks about things that are made out of materials that are in the ocean. Things that come from sources of water. So the Mishnah talks about things that come from Boro Shalmayim, so we'll consider it to be Dvar Matahorim. What comes from Boro Shalmayim? Nothing comes from Boro, not so many things come from Boro Shalmayim. But the post can point out that Boros are things underground, so we have Boro Shalmayim also, except it's not actual water, it's other kind of liquids. It's a lot more expensive than water. It's black, we call it oil. It comes from petroleum, it comes from the ground. That comes from Boros shall neft. So Yosef quotes post to say Mali Maya Mali Neft. Anything that comes from liquidy stuff that comes from the ground is automatically not subject to Duma. So all of these, I don't know too much about this process, all these kinds of polyester and stuff, all byproducts of petroleum, how that happens, I don't know. The same stuff that comes out of the ground fills up your car and gives you a piece of a polyester shirt or something, but the mice, it works. I don't know how that happens exactly. So the Achmarim write, well, it's all its sources come from this underground, boros, literally pits of oil wells. So that's considered like coming from water sources under the ground also, and it's all tar. That's one smart that some say. Others say it's tar because we have no reason to say that's tummy. Everything's tar to proven tummy. The Torah doesn't talk about these kinds of things. The bottom, whatever the reason is, the bottom line is that all these kinds of things are tahar, and therefore anything found on polyester would automatically be tahar. So this sounds great, this sounds phenomenal. Anytime the woman is wearing any kind of a garment that's polyester, that would be great. So comes Rav Avadya and says, not so great. He says, nylon tofer b'ktsosa b'chute pishtar b'chayetze b'zayesh l'achmer. He says that if there's any strings, if there's any linen strings, linen strings, cotton strings, any natural fiber in this item, then the entire item is over kabbalah tumah. So Ravadi gives you 20. This is a two-liner, but in the bottom, he's a 20-page ordeal based on sugis in Maseches Kalim, that even those items that are not kabbalah tumah, if they're made with partial strings that are kabbalah tumah, that can ruin it for the whole thing. So Ravadi says every time you have a shaya that comes up on a polyester kind of a beged, so you could. You have to always raise that possibility that there may be natural fibers in there. When does this ever come up? Now, it's also not that uncommon. Sometimes a woman will find a kesem on her stockings. How did she find on her stockings? If she found her stockings, wasn't it on the underwear anyway? Well, it depends what color underwear she was wearing. So sometimes we're going to talk about a little bit later, about wearing colored underwear, which may be not susceptible to some for other reasons. We'll talk about that in a little while. So often you get the following shayla. The woman comes with she realizes also she's in the middle of the month and she shouldn't be getting a period, so she has an issue, gets a little bit of a stain. Okay, it's without a gosha, but it's a little bit more than a gris, and we have a problem. We start to look at it, and we say, well, Baruch Hashem, it was found on the color of the wind, so we ignore it. People love to be able to ignore it. But part of the kesem slipped through, part of the kesem went through, and now it ended up a little bit on our stockings. So usually, okay, it's a big deal, the stock is also colored. Believe it or not, but there's always that part, the stockings, is very often white. And had the shayla numerous times, where we were able to retire the woman based on the underwear. We would have been retired the woman based on the underwear, but now the shayla comes, it's found on the stockings. So the stockings, it's found on a cloth. It's not savur, it's not colored, so it's white. It's more than a gris on the stockings. It should be a problem. So wait a second, what are the stockings made of? What material are they made of? So very often they're made out of polyester, nylon, these kinds of materials. So gavaldik sounds wonderful. Except for the last line of Rabbi Vadya, that they're always tafur b'ktelsa b'chutei pishtan, that they always have a little bit of pishtan and there's always a little bit of stitching in there, that very often is cotton stitching. I don't think too much linen stitching in the stockings, but cotton stitching is very common, and that's the problem. So sometimes a woman says, what do you mean, Rabbi? There's no cotton in this. I look at the material. It says 100% polyester on it, 100% nylon on it, whatever it is. The problem is that people in the garment industry have told me, not all that different from the kashrus industry, that when there's a very small amount of something, it doesn't even have to be listed on the label. That's why, you know, even in kashrus, you can get away with not listing if it's less than 2%, whatever the number is. So to over here, apparently, if it's just like supportive stitching or something, it's not really the item itself, you don't have to say, well, it's 1% cotton in there, but there is cotton in there. So it's very hard to make all these shaylas. I've had people, you know, sit on websites trying to figure out for me what exactly is in some of these materials. It's not so simple to always figure out. So I think we have to assume that even the 100% polyester has some cotton in it until we know with absolute certainty otherwise.
No shear of
bittul. There's no bittul in there. No bittul in this. Sorry. no bittul mishishim in this one.
She's tameh.
Yeah, so we could have to clear the room to be in tameh for 2 weeks based on the fact that there was a little bit of cotton stitching.
Even if the stitching was on the edge,
right? That's right. So Roger shows you his bechias and said it in a sentence. Caleb will try to show you that's the din. So the first time that I came to this realization that this distinction exists, that polyester, rayon, those kinds of things are theoretically mutter, but tachlis, the mice in America today, they end up usually to be also. It came from the following scenario: a wacky, wild shiloh. About a woman found the kesem on a, not on the sheet itself, but she found the kesem on a mattress cover. I found a mattress cover, so there was a little bit of dam on the sheet itself, but the sheet was colored. So make one that wasn't meant to melt, so found a bit where that was. But so the sheet itself, we turned around, said, oh, it's colored, and we're going to learn about that a little bit later, color's okay. But she took the sheet off the bed and noticed there was a little bit of blood that seeped through, and it gone to the onto the mattress cover. The mattress cover was white. So our initial reaction was, what are we going to do? We know where it came from. It was down, albeit swallowed by Russia, whatever it was. And we have to declare that the woman is Tameya based on the fact that it's found in something white. It's a Dabra Makabatuma. I said, wait a second. I asked them, what is this mattress cover made of? The materials said, it's polyester. It's great polyester. Then we're looking around, we're thinking about it a little bit. Wait a second, polyester, that's a partial polyester. He said, is there any cotton stitching on this? So this shayla goes back a while ago, to exactly how old the shayla was. This shayla happened, maybe it's going to be this summer, 18 years ago. I'll tell you why I remember exactly how old the shayla was. And also in context, we weren't even like Googling, we were calling. We were calling an 800 number. So it was a different world. So we're trying to figure out this shayla, was there stitches, but the cotton stitches on the polyester mattress cover. According to 1-800 mattress cover, I don't know what we were trying to figure out to try to ascertain what exactly this was about. So how do I remember that it was 18 years ago this summer the shayla was? Because at the time my wife was expecting with Meir Yaakov, he's going to be 18 this summer, and it was in the summertime, and Rabbi Willard was up in Marashah. I was the summer rabbi in Riverdale that year, so the Shah didn't come from Riverdale, but I remember that context. I remember I called Rabbi Willard and to ask him to talk out the Shah with him, you know, how much we have to find out, if we can't find out, or something. So I called him up, so he knew that my wife was due any second. So Rabbi said, And he still calls me Rebbe Tzvi, because I used to be, used to teach his kids all the time. I was the Rebbe for his little kids. So he always goes, Rebbe Tzvi, no, what'd you have? He thought I was going to tell him that I had a baby. So I said, Rebbe, we didn't have anything yet. I said, well, listen to the Shiloh. So then until it took like a day until I got the rest of the information. So I called him back again. He said, Rebbe Tzvi, what was it? It's still a mattress cover. I said nothing. So like 3 days later, my wife had a boy. So I called him back. I said, well, you won't believe it, but we had, no, it wasn't a mattress cover this time, we had a boy. So that was the Shiloh of that history. But this Shiloh had a double of that history. So this Shiloh was a complicated Shiloh, and we'll hopefully talk about this because it'll be next year, but it was a Dan Besulim Shiloh. It was actually a woman, a couple just got married. And the thing is that any dam that comes because of the Bia Rishona is potentially a problem. But then this was what we call dam Basulim second time around. They knew that she had already come to Meir, she had already gone to the Mikvah, and then sometimes once in a while there's a little bit of residue blood, which could sometimes make her need a second time around. And the second time around has certain coolers that the first time does. Then we're going to talk about this a lot later on. And some of the coolers of Ksumim kick in on the second time around. So this happened to have been a Dam Besulim on a second time around, which was found on a mattress cover that was polyester with potential cotton strings. That was the Shiloh. So it was complicated on a lot of different fronts. So, I remember a few years later, I was running a summer kollel, which is actually where these Marim Kollels were made for that summer. I don't say the thing. It was a summer kollel in L.A. in Jacob at the time. And I think I broke you around that, right? You ran that summer, I think. So I was saying Shuman needed that summer, and we decided we could have a Malad Malka with, who's the famous OB, OBGYN in the chamber?
Larry Platt.
Yeah, Platt, right there, Platt, right. So we had a Malad Malka together with the doctor. It was going to be like part of the program, was going to be like questions and answers. Well, my bachurim came, okay, whatever it was, my father, no doubt, showed up. And the main show was going to be, we're going to have the questions and answers, common things, rabbi, doctor, you know, session, and those of what was needed. So one of the, somehow we got talking a little bit about Dan Besulim, and I mentioned the story that happened, I don't know, years ago, this was about 3-4 years after it happened, a little boy then. So I remember I was telling over the story, and I said that it's fairly common, not so common that you get with the polyester strings, but it's fairly common you get like second, so the third time Dan Besulim, not so crazy. So the doctor at the time, you know, but he was like responding and telling that. So he said he found that a little strange. He didn't realize that, you know, that there's so many times that they keep on having Dan Besulim missions several times. He said he doesn't, as a doctor, he hadn't been informed of that. So he just found that in. So we were talking about that Nakuda. As we were talking, it was very informal. His house was in. It was very informal. And I guess I did something that I should have. My phone was on. I guess because I think my wife was still in New York at that time. So I was in. I had my phone on, even though it was an informal kind of session, schmoozing. And my phone went off. And it was a Shiloh, like in the middle of the schmoozing. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the phone to ask the Shiloh. And I realized it was about 11 o'clock at night in L.A. was Motzei Shabbos. It was 2 o'clock in the morning in New York. So someone, they were obviously calling me, they weren't calling another rabbi to wake him up. Somebody called me, and literally, 1 minute before, I had told over the whole story about a second time Dan Besulim that's found on the mattress cover with polyester strings, and doctor said, nah, it doesn't happen that often. Terem Yuko in the end, a person called me with the identical Shiloh. Obviously, identical Shiloh. Want to know what to do? We just got married a couple weeks ago, and now we found blood the second time around. Not on the sheet; it's on the mattress cover, and it's a polyester mattress cover. What do we do? Bah, 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 bah. So I said, "Oh, that's easy. We passed this 5 years ago." I said, "It's also." I said, "Finish." I hung up the phone. I said, "I couldn't have written the script better." I said, "Mamish," he was like, "Hopefully, they thought I was Chassidus Rebbe Bal Vayfer." Great Bruce. He called the hits before the home run before Mort came. Okay. Anyway. So again, so we have a couple of interesting applications of this principle of Dovashenim Kabbalatum. Another common example is actually something based on the Gemara itself. Last week we mentioned that one of the examples that the Gemara gives for Einam Kabbalatum is Karka. The Gemara gives the scenario of a woman sitting down on the ground, she's not wearing underwear, she gets up, she finds a little stain on the ground. So the Gemara says, it's nothing. That was the original statement of Rabbi Nechemya, Einam Kabbalatum, Einam Kabbalatum, someone forget it, don't worry about it. Because not as that, we're not going to have that. So do we ever have shilas of a quote unquote kesem on a karka, which is Eidim Kabbalatuma? So we have a shilah. It's also a fairly often shilah. Very often a woman going to the bathroom, and she'll get up, and she'll notice there's a little bit of blood on the bowl, on the side of the bowl or something. It was a toilet bowl, a davar makabel tumah, not makabel tumah. So the Ramah talks about this. The Ramah, but the Ramah writes that the basic kisya is not makabel tumah. Why? Because it's karka. Because it's built into the ground. It's screwed into the ground. So it's cemented into the ground. So it's not makabel tumah. So if you find the kisya on the bowl, the bowl itself, so it's not makabel tumah. So I once got the following shayla. A woman called me, and she just found, she was pills, off the pills, you start to see some strange sporadic spotting. So she just saw a little stain developed, and it was on the toilet, so what's the din? So I was about to say, that's on the toilet, don't worry about it, forget about it, don't do it, try to move on. So in the process, like a doctor has to always ask a couple extra questions, so you find out the extra information. In the course of the conversation, it occurred to me that this was a different toilet bowl. It was on a plane. She was close, she was about to take off or something. She had just gone to the bathroom on the plane. And a plane toilet is a problem, because it's not mechubla karka. It's a davar metalta, it's something that moves. Now, if you remember when we learned the sugyas of Tumas Kohanim a couple of months ago, so we spoke about the shadow, is a plane mechabal tumah now? So it's quite possible that a plane is mechabal tumah. It's possible that the toilet bowl on the plane, she hit the jaffa. That's the only kind of a toilet bowl that maybe is mechabal tumah. Maybe, yeah, maybe no, depending on what the toilet material was made of. It gets complicated. So I remember I said to her, I said, okay, let's think this one through a little bit. We get to, in a few hours, we'll try to work this shadow out. Whether we have to asa her, because she's found on the Kabbal Tumah. In the end, she got up very, very soon afterwards, so the whole shadow was a good shadow. But again, it becomes important. When you're dealing with shadows of Kabbalah's Tumah, we have to figure out, is this item a Kabbal Tumah, is this item not a Kabbal Tumah? A very common application of this, my mom himself doesn't talk about this, but a common application of this is, if a kesem is found not so much on the bowl itself, it's found in the water, in the bowl, so is that considered, that water considered to be mekabel tumah now? So at first glance, water is fucking foolish. Also, to be mashed, water is potentially mekabel tumah, but it could be that this water may not be mekabel tumah, because this water is mayim hamechuborim. It's water that's found in a structure of karka, may not be mekabel tumah. For a strange reason, I don't know if we can find some reason, with friends, it's the first Mishnah Maseches Mikvos that talks about the fact that a small collection of water in a karka type of an area may be a kosher mitzvah for something. It's not for our tefillas, not for tefillas other mokeir and mokeilim, but for certain tefillas machana, machdim. If you want to toggle a needle that's tameh, some of that Torah, as long as it's a ravis of water, it's considered to be a mikvah. Anytime something is a mikvah mayim, it automatically is not a mikvah duma. So it could be that for certain degrees, as also Suma Vitara, the collection of water in the toilet bowl, believe it's strange, as bizarre as that may sound, may have almost a halachic status, almost like a mikvah. Talking about somebody taking something out of context, and quoting me, please don't misquote me on this, but it could be that water may be tar al tumas mashkin, because it's maimah mechubarim, more than revius of water, mechubarim karka, so maybe tar also. So this is a psak that there are many people who follow this kula today. So this is a good kula, because this does happen. Often a woman will get up and she'll realize that the kesem is not on the bowl, the kesem is in the water, so there are mekilim of that as well. So again, so this is a good kula, this is a very helpful kula, the kula of Doshin of a couple of Duma. It helps for the toilet paper, it helps for the toilet bowl, it helps for the water in the toilet bowl. There's a bunch of coolers, very, very common applications of this principle of Dovish and Mekabel Tumah. So you have to just figure out each and every scenario whether it meets the criteria of being Mekabel Tumah.
In terms of stockings, I can't believe that today they haven't figured out which have cotton and the manufacturers. There's going to be a store in Brooklyn that says, these are only polyesters.
The stocking shop doesn't have that one. Because what it entails to have has to be a significant amount of...